This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. An entire shift at the Nikisikee Fire Department is in quarantine because of possible exposure to the coronavirus. Of the 11 members quarantined, 3 have tested positive for the virus so far. That's according to an announcement yesterday from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Brenda Ahlberg, a spokesperson for the borough, says it started with 1 positive test.
What we do know is we had an individual who sought testing. I can't speak on that individual's motivation, why they felt like they needed to, if they had symptoms. I don't know that. It's not clear. All I know is that when that individual was tested, it was positive.
Ahlberg says how that person contracted the virus remains under investigation, and it prompted the testing of the entire shift, then the entire department, and an investigation into recent contacts.
The biggest concern for us right now was being able to confirm that no patients were exposed during patient transport.
The 11 people will remain quarantined for 2 weeks. Staff from Central Emergency Services and the Kenai Fire Department will help fill in while they're gone. The number of confirmed cases in Alaska has spiked in recent days, with nearly all of the cases from Alaskans in South Central, including those tied to an outbreak at a transitional care center in Anchorage. Ahlberg says Alaskans need to remember that the virus is here and to continue to take precautions.
We just need to come back to that grassroots effort that we started in March. It's that if you're not feeling good, stay home and follow those physical distancing protocols and washing your hands and hygiene.
Since March, the state has reported just over 500 coronavirus cases among residents. About 3/4 have recovered from the disease so far. Evening, over 100 Bethel residents gathered to peacefully protest the death of George Floyd, a black man who was killed by Minneapolis police. The Black Lives Matter movement has resonated with Bethel residents, who are predominantly Alaska Native, another group familiar with iniquities in law enforcement. KYUK's Greg Kim attended the protest to learn more about what drew out such a large crowd.
The crowd of protesters met in the Cultural Center parking lot, nearly everyone with a face mask on. Many brought cardboard signs. One read, quote, "All lives cannot matter until Black lives matter." Organizers thanked state troopers for being in attendance. Prior to the event, an individual had posted on Facebook that he would be attending the march armed with a weapon, but the demonstration remained peaceful. Cece Franco, one of the event organizers, requested a moment of silence.
Starting now.
8 minutes and 46 seconds, the amount of time a police officer kept his knee on George Floyd's neck before Floyd died. Among the rally speakers, Adam London wanted to remind the group that George Floyd was just one of many who died at the hands of law enforcement.
Ahmaud Arbery's life mattered. Tamir Rice's life mattered. Trayvon Martin's life mattered. That is just a few of the many names of black lives that mattered.
A study published in 2019 finds that a black man is 2.5 times more likely than a white man to be killed by police. But African Americans are not the only group to be disproportionately targeted by police, as London pointed out.
We especially here in Bethel, in Western Alaska, we share a little bit of their story.
The same study shows Alaska Natives are between 1.1 and 2.1 times more likely to be killed by police than Caucasians. State House Representative Tiffany Zolkowski said she was protesting to address injustices against both groups.
It's for all of the black lives, but it's also for all people of color who experience that.
Bethel has had its own experiences with police brutality. In July of 2014, a surveillance camera caught a former Bethel police officer slamming an Alaska Native man on the ground multiple times in the AC parking lot. The officer was fired and served jail time for fourth-degree assault and official misconduct. Acting Police Chief Amy Davis said the incident had a big impact on the department.
It gave us a black eye for sure, but I can tell you within the department it wasn't condoned.
She says the 2014 incident spurred the department to adopt body cameras, which officers are required to turn on any time they interact with the public. And whenever an officer uses force, Davis says at least 3 supervisors review the action to ensure it was appropriate. She feels the department is good at policing itself.
I can't tell you one officer that would stand by and watch something happen that they didn't feel was right. I feel like our crew right now would stand up and say something.
From the Cultural Center, the protesters marched to Watson's Corner and back as cars driving by honked in support. One of the group's organizers, Nelly Agimak, has high hopes for what the protest can achieve.
My hope is just to end racism in itself.
Despite the large crowd, there were only a few African Americans in attendance. The last U.S. Census recorded the black population in Bethel at around 2%. One of the protesters, Gary Howard, shared some of his experience as a black man in the United States.
Everywhere you go as an African American, someone's gonna look at you crazy or say something under their breath. I mean, I'm 28, so I've been dealing with this since I was a kid. But in Bethel, I haven't really had any problems with that, luckily.
He says he feels solidarity with Alaska Natives who he knows have suffered some of the same disproportionate violence at the hands of law enforcement as a black community. Asked what he thought about the protest, though, he said his feelings were mixed.
I mean, it's great that everyone's coming together to try to make a change, but I don't know, I've seen this a lot, so hoping for a change, but we'll see.
Howard says it's difficult to see the same thing happen over and over again without justice being served. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
An evangelical Christian delivered a field hospital to the Bristol Bay Borough Monday. It's a measure the state requested in case of an outbreak of COVID-19 in the community ahead of the fishing season. KDLG's Izzy Ross reports.
Samaritan's Purse sent emergency field hospitals to Italy and New York, two places badly hit by coronavirus. On Monday, the organization flew one to the Bristol Bay Borough. The borough is the epicenter of fish processing during the short sockeye fishery, and it grows exponentially as seafood workers and fishermen come to the region. The 30-bed hospital can be set up within 48 hours.
If we need to be in there, if we need to set up, we'll set up.
That's Franklin Graham. He's president of Samaritan's Purse, which is an evangelical relief organization. He says Governor Mike Dunleavy requested that Samaritan's Purse send the hospital to the region. Graham says the state, as well as the Department of Defense, were instrumental in coordinating the effort.
It took a lot of cooperation because there's a lot of various agencies that had to cooperate. And they all did this at record speed. So I'm very thankful for the leadership of everyone involved.
The Chamai Community Health Center in the Bristol Bay Borough will have about 16 people on staff this summer, which is a small increase from normal. The clinic has been ramping up its testing capacity in recent weeks. It has a Cepheid machine, which can run 16 tests at a time, and it is currently open for walk-up and drive-through testing. Mary Swain, the executive director of the clinic, says having a field hospital brings with it medical personnel who are trained to respond to outbreaks.
Having people that know what to do, know what to look for, they will be able to identify things maybe quicker. It's a place where those that are a little bit sick but not quite hospital sick can go and be taken care of.
If activated, the hospital would be run by 20 medical personnel and 40 staff. Swain says they are currently preparing the gym of the King Salman Air Force Base for the hospital.
So it's actually three tents inside of one big building. There have been some comments out there about, I can't even imagine being in King Salmon with all of those bugs having to deal with COVID. And so everybody knows that it is inside. They call it a field hospital, but it will be inside.
If activated, the hospital would be run by 20 medical personnel and 40 staff. Swain says they are currently preparing the gym of the King Salmon Air Force Base for the hospital.
So it's actually three tents inside of one big building. There have been some comments out there about, I can't even imagine being in King Salmon with all of those bugs having to deal with COVID. And so everybody knows that it is inside. They call it a field hospital, but it will be inside.
Chamai has administered over 800 tests and currently has staff dedicated solely to running the testing center.
For the month of June, we anticipate testing over 5,000 just in seafood workers and support staff.
On top of that, Swain expects approximately 2,000 fishermen to get tested in June. The Bristol Bay Borough saw its first two cases of COVID-19 over the weekend. Because the individuals aren't residents, they won't be listed in the borough's case count. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.